Well, this Sunday is is Reformation Sunday, and this is a day that some of us might have grown up with and some of us may not have, depending on your background. For me, it was something I learned about in adulthood. I grew up Catholic, and so we did not celebrate Reformation Day in the same way. But for those who this is new or need a refresher, on October 31st, on 1517, is the day that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to his church door. And the 95 Theses were points of discussion to be raised in the community, issue that he had with the church leadership and how funds were being distributed and how church leadership may have been abusing the people that it was relying on for those funds. And it really is what kicked off the Protestant Reformation, where Lutheranism has come out of, but also Reformed traditions as well. And I like to borrow a phrase I learned from my Presbyterian brothers and sisters, Reformed and always reforming. That's something to keep in mind as we think about the Reformation, that we are reformed, but we are always reforming. We are always seeking ways to continue in our life of faith and to see where we need to be changing as a people and as a church. So really good things to be reflecting on this Sunday. And I want you to be thinking about that phrase, reformed and always reforming, when we think about the story of Zacchaeus. So just a little bit of background on where we are in Luke's gospel. You may remember that my first Sunday here in August, I talked about Jesus' great road trip that he takes in Luke's gospel. It's an entire third to half of Luke's gospel is Jesus saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and then him taking the longest, windiest way there, meeting all sorts of different people, having all sorts of different encounters, and teaching all sorts of different lessons through parables along the way. And today's story about Zacchaeus is his last encounter. He tells one more parable, the parable of the talents, and then he's in Jerusalem. So we kind of have reached the end of our journey. This is the final stop on our way to Jerusalem, and it's with this man, Zacchaeus. And I believe that this is no coincidence that this is the final story that we get on this long road trip that Jesus has been on. Because the whole point of this trip has been to reveal who God is and what God has come to do. And our very last verse of our gospel lesson says that the Son of Man has come to seek out and to save the lost. And we've seen that time and again through the parables, like the parables of the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son. And then stories that we didn't hear together, but that we have heard other Sundays, like the story that just preceded this was about a blind man on the side of the road who was given sight. So Jesus is always seeking out those who are lost, those who need help, those who need a sense of restoration in their life, and provides that. And what's interesting about Zacchaeus is he is maybe someone that we would think is not deserving of that. So we know that he was wealthy and that he was the chief tax collector. And that's kind of all that we're told about him. That and he's short, although short could also mean diminished stature, so that he was not in good relationship with his community, which is likely because of his line of work. So the tax collectors were agents of Rome. So Rome was this oppressive regime that the Jewish people were subjugated to. And the tax collectors were Jewish people that went to collect taxes from their own people to pay the government. And it's not like the IRS that we have today. This was a system that was really prone to corruption and abuse. And so the fact that not only is Zacchaeus a tax collector, which may have been okay, it's just prone to corruption, but the fact that he's wealthy is highly suspicious that he was living a good life, although it does not exclude that. But we're kind of led in as the story progresses that this is not someone to be admired and that he was not well liked by his community for sure. And yet Jesus sees him. Jesus sees him and sees what he is doing, and honors him with an invitation for Jesus to come to his house. And the invitation, of course, angers the community, because what that invitation means is that Jesus, as a religious leader, by saying that he wants to come to someone's house, is bestowing that person with a great honor. And so the crowd is wondering, well, why does this terrible, oppressive, mean person, why does he get this honor? But Jesus sees something that the world does not. And for that, I'm going to talk a little bit about tenses, grammatical tenses. Because as I was reading this story this week, and this might not be interesting to you, I found it fascinating. So hang in here with me for a second. But we see that Zacchaeus says that he will give away half his possessions, and he will, if he has defrauded anyone, pay back fourfold. But in the Greek, it actually says, I have. It's present tense. I have given back half of my possessions, and I have repaid fourfold any wrongdoing that I've done. And so what I found really interesting this week is that scholarship is pretty much split 50-50 on this, and translations are split 50-50 on this. So our translation has it in future tense, but a lot of translations have it in present tense. And it really changes how you understand who Zacchaeus is. Is he someone who's been corrupt up to this point, and he sees Jesus and he has this kind of Paul-like encounter of the lightning bolt that changes him, and from that moment on he's going to be a different person? Or is he more like a Peter sort of person who's been kind of making this slow and steady progress and has been kind of working something out in his mind, that maybe there's something going on here with Jesus, and maybe there's some of that reforming that he can be doing in his own heart, and he's already started on that journey. No matter if you see it as present or future tense, the most important thing is that some kind of conversion has happened, and that conversion has led to a change of behavior. And so what I think is probably most important is that Jesus sees, either in the future, that this will stick, because we know that Jesus can see through any kind of, oh, I'm going to do that, and then if it doesn't get done, he's going to know. So Jesus knows that this behavior is going to stick. So whether or not it's already underway or it's in the process of unfolding, Jesus sees what is happening in Zacchaeus' heart, even if everyone around him still sees him as this kind of scumbag sort of person. And so what Jesus is telling us is that no one is beyond God's redemption. Even the person that we think is the sleaziest person, everyone has a chance for redemption. Everyone has the opportunity to reform and to continue to be reformed. And so Zacchaeus shows us that our faith at this transformational moment, again, whether or not it's been slowly happening or is happening in the moment, that this results in reconciling action with our community. So not only is Jesus restoring Zacchaeus to his people by issuing this dinner invitation, Zacchaeus too is taking actions to make amends for the wrongdoings that he has done. And this is something that's really amazing about our worship service every Sunday that is unique in the public space. So every Sunday, when we gather, we look towards our baptismal font and we say words of confession and forgiveness. This is built into us as a Christian people, that together as a community, we confess what we have done wrong and we receive that forgiveness. And we are reformed and always reforming. Every Sunday we come back reformed and always reforming to do better, and to know, like Zacchaeus, that we cannot do it on our own. So for me personally, I think that it is in the present tense. I think that Zacchaeus has been making amends, that he's already started on this path before he saw Jesus. But I think it's because he's heard of Jesus that he thinks, okay, I need to be doing something differently with my life. So he started on this path of redemption, but he realizes that he will never be able to do enough on his own. And so when he hears that Jesus is coming, he completely humbles himself in front of his community. So a rich man at this time would never be seen as running. It would have been very taboo to be running, because you would have underlings or other people that would do those kind of errands for you, that would be the ones that would be hustling. You would be at your leisure. So the fact that he is running is sign one that he's humbling himself to get to Jesus. And the other thing is, a grown man, and I think we can all relate to this one, a grown man would never be seen just climbing up a tree. We would think it was very odd if we saw someone just dangling from a tree, trying to see a certain event. It would be very unseemly. But Zacchaeus is so desperate to see Jesus that he humbles himself in front of Jesus in these ways. And that Jesus sees not only the change of behavior, but this humility. And this goes back to our lesson from last week about how the humble will be exalted and the exalted will be humbled. And that Zacchaeus is a part of this long story of salvation history of people who come to a point of transformation through an encounter with Jesus. And they are able to see themselves honestly, to humble themselves, to make the change, but also to see that there is something beyond personal action, that we need to have faith in God to carry us the rest of the way. And I believe that that is what Zacchaeus is trying to do, that he's made the right actions, he's humbled himself, but he understands that his salvation is not up to him, that he needs the blessing of God, the confession and forgiveness that we do at the beginning of worship is, I think, what Zacchaeus is doing. He is confessing that he is doing the best he can, but it will not be enough, and he is receiving the forgiveness of God in that moment. So this is an amazing story that I think really challenges us to see people in a new way, to know that how the world sees us and how God sees us is different, and that Jesus sees what the world does not, and that Jesus will continually seek out the lost. And the good news is that redemption is possible for anyone at any moment, and that God sees that no one is beyond restoration, that no one is beyond being reformed and continuing to reform. Thanks be to God for that.